Well, it's good to be here this morning. It's good to have each of you that are with us this morning by way of the internet and web TV on YouTube. And it's just good to have you with us in this gathering. We're going to be talking about the eternal purpose of God in these sessions. And we're going to get into that this morning. I've been for some time just really constrained of the Lord in a particular search in my heart, in my soul. We share many of the things, all of us do, that we really search in the Scripture, and it speaks into our heart or brings into our heart a comprehension of Christ, a view of Christ. And we share that. But the sharing is out of something that has been accomplished in our heart. The very purpose of our searching is something be accomplished in our hearts, that there be a transformation taking place in our very soul. And for some times, with me, it's been the term, the plurality of one, and then in that, because the plurality of one is the all things in Christ. And what a huge word that is. What a huge term that is. And this is the thing the Lord has seemingly, well, has been focusing my attention upon, and that's some of these phrases that we just glance through. You know, we just read through like we're reading yesterday's newspaper. And pay little attention to these things. And then sometimes we do it. Depends on whether we're really searching the Scripture or not. All things. All things. Now you know and I know too, that everybody who reads that term, all things in Christ, all things gathered in Him, please God, you know, all fullness dwell. All the fullness of the Godhead bodily, but particularly the all things. That we have some little finite understanding in our mind about all things. And yet it has to be a little finite thing with us, because there's all kind of levels, even in the natural, of what constitutes all things. And most of us in the natural, not always in the spiritual, but in the natural, will admit, well, I don't know all things. Or, you know, there's a lot of places I haven't been. There's a lot of things I haven't seen. There's a lot of languages I can't speak. I don't know all things. But on the spiritual side of that, we're not, I mean, in and of ourselves, we either seem to think that we comprehend the all things, or we're just not, in some cases, even that concerned with it. But the term has really been working in my heart and soul for some times. The plurality of one with regard to all things that are summed up in Christ. Now, why would I say plurality of one? If you've listened to the CDs. I have gone out of my way to explain that on the monthly CDs that we send out from here to those that request them. And many that are here get those CDs. There's some of them right here. Plurality of one is simply referring to the all things gathered into Christ. How great a plurality that is. And that's in line, because what I'm talking about now just came right in that same line. We're dealing with the eternal purpose of God, the exalted view of Christ. On the monthly CDs, I'm dealing with the exalted view of Christ. And now, the open heaven. It all has to do with the same thing. Just looking at it from a different perspective, but Christ is the central object of everything I've just said. Eternal purpose of God. Central object, only object, Christ. But we'll look at that as there's so many aspects of Christ, hon. So many aspects is not a real great word, but so many aspects of Christ. When you stop to think that whether I understand the term all things or not, it's got to be a great term. It just in natural definition, it means all. It means allness. It means everything that is. And the whole purpose of this administration of the fullness of the times, which is the administration of the Spirit of God, is that in that administration, by that very Spirit of God, the Father has gathered together all things in one, even in Christ, both in heaven and in earth. I mean, it's a tremendous statement there that Paul makes in Ephesians 1, verse 9 and 10, relates it to the mystery of God in Christ. So it's something that has to be revealed in the person. So what is the plurality of Christ? It's everything that God has gathered together and identified with Him, in Him. It's everything that He Himself is, not only the definition of, but the substance of. It's not Christ and things, it's all things in Christ. Now that's a great picture, huh? Can you know that? Not Christ and all things. We'd like to think about it that way, then we can just start, you know. But no. It's all things in Christ, which means that relating to our salvation, darling, we know absolutely nothing. N-O-T-H-I-N-G. We know not one thing except we know it in Him. We know about a lot of things. We know about it, but I mean know it, as the word know is in the Scripture. To comprehend it inwardly, to lay hold of it by the faith of the Son of God. It means to embrace that inwardly. It means something that we actually experience inwardly, in truth. Now, we should know all of these things, but my point is that except we know the things of our salvation, and just salvation as a whole and all the things of it, We use the word know. Let's use the word understanding. Let's use the word comprehend. Let's use the word inward acknowledgement. All of those are the words that Paul uses. What I'm trying to tell you here, once you see this, once you see all things gathered into Christ, and that Christ is in you, and is our salvation, and it's not Christ plus all things. No, it's all things defined, made complete, having stature, having substance in Christ. Christ. The definition of wisdom. Christ. Definition of understanding. Christ. Definition of knowledge. Because, honey, we're not talking about the world now when we come to speak of Christ. We are talking about a new creation of God in Christ. We're talking about what we've been talking about here forever, being in Christ, a whole new state of being that we know nothing of by our eyes and ears and mouth and nose. Natural senses tell us nothing of a new creation in Christ Jesus. Tell us nothing. Nothing. Now see, I say this, and I'm not jumping on anybody here or anybody out there, but this is the working of the Lord with me at this time. And He'll tell me nothing 50 times at one time. You know nothing except you know it in me. That's what He is telling. That's what He tells. That's what He says. That's where He brings my soul. It's almost like being shaken and somebody's shaking you, and it's in the Scripture. Wake up. Christ shall give you light. You've stumbled around in the darkness of this thing long enough. How? Because our mind's over here and over here and back over here and then trying to figure it out. And the Lord just gathers it. Where should our minds be gathered together? Where everything else is gathered together? In Him. In Him. So, you know, it all has to come to be the all things, the plurality of one. One stands there as our salvation, and everything of spiritual life is in Him. Everything of God in Him. Everything given of God in Him. Everything is in Him. And so it then is the knowing of Him. And that's the thing the Lord has been dealing with me concerning, and it comes to be what I've termed an exalted view. And it isn't something that I've made up. I've put it together. But when we talk about hath exalted Him above, hath given Him a name above all names, then the term exaltation applies to Him. And I was thinking as I was sitting over here, whatever view the Father gives us of His Son is an exalted view. It's an exalted view. Whatever view of Christ we come to see, it's exalted. That it is not earthly. It is spiritual. It is eternal. It is heavenly. It is the Father's good pleasure to exalt his son. And how does he exalt his son? Does the Father exalt his son in the imagination of the Father's heart, showing us what he wishes his son would be? No, that's an earthly view that people have of one another. No. The exalted view of Christ is when the Father shows us the Son as who he actually is. Jesus himself says, No man knoweth who the Son is save the Father. And no man knoweth who the Father is save the Son, and he to whomsoever he will reveal him. But the Father doesn't show us made up things about the Son, things that he wishes. No. He simply reveals the Son as he knows him to be. And it's always an exalted view. It's always a view that is above and beyond what we can see with the natural eyes or understand in the natural heart. It's always above and beyond. And so we've been talking about that exalted view of the Son. And it is an ever ongoing view of him. When that view really begins to take place in our hearts, on, for instance, this is a very small thing now. We'll bring it very small. Very small. Because the view of Christ fills the heavens. But sweetheart, it'll also fill your earth. Whatever circumstance you're in at the time, the view of Christ will fill it. And all of a sudden, it is not the circumstance, but it is Christ in you there. Larger than the circumstance, even a good circumstance. A real good one. He is above and beyond. Above and beyond. And that brings us to the series I wanted to start with you this morning, the eternal purpose. Now, we've talked about purpose for years and years and years. And I've talked about purpose. But I want us to look at purpose. Maybe beyond. Because most of the time in purpose, we've been pretty self-centered in looking at it. And I mean that in a good way. Like I find that, you know, what I'm doing is not what I'm doing, whatever it is that I'm doing, driving down the road, sitting here before you right now, whatever you're doing on a job, whatever it is, that in and of itself is not my purpose, because that in and of itself could stop in a moment. It could stop in a moment. It could change with circumstances. That isn't my purpose. I find my purpose in Christ. And we know that. We believe that. And some have done that and are doing that. Finding that because they realize that no matter how important the things is that we do, none of it constitutes our life. We could do it or not do it and it wouldn't affect our life, because our life is in Christ himself and is Christ himself dwelling in me. Now that's true. What I want us to look at is not, it is purpose, but I'd like for us to look at the eternal purpose of God. God working in our soul, his purpose. because, darling angel, and the thing that thrills me, that won't stop when I die. That won't stop when I leave this earth. To be found in His purpose, which is fulfilled in the Son. But I want us to consider it from that standpoint. And it doesn't negate our finding purpose in Christ. Yes, our life. And it'll bring that into it as well and fortify it. But the point is, what we're looking at is the eternal purpose of God. That which God planned, purposed, and achieved in His Son. We want to look at all of that. So, we're going to start. And I'm using a workbook here called Purpose Made Manifest that we printed sometime, I don't know, some number of years ago. And I've gone through it, changed things, added to, have printouts. I'm going to use this because it'll keep me centered. The exalted view of the Son, the eternal purpose of God. Let me see if I have, yes. Let me see. All right. Ephesians 1:11. Just looking at this. Ephesians 1:11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, speaking of Christ, being foreknown according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. And then Ephesians 3 verse 11, just looking at this word. Hebrews 3, we'll look at 9 and 11. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Verse 10, to the intent that now, under the principalities and powers in heavenly places, might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. And 2 Timothy 1, verse 9 and 10. 2 Timothy 1, verse 9 and 10. Paul writing this letter to Timothy. Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. It's a purpose that God had before He did anything. And consequently, something that not only motivated Him, should God need to be motivated, but was the plan laid out before Him, this purpose stands behind everything that He has done, both in the natural creation, because all of that turned out to be a type and a shadow, not only of His creative power, but of that very thing, the testimony that was yet to come. So everything directed by this purpose, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Well, hon, God has given me a lot of things in Christ that I'm ignorant of, still ignorant of, which is the whole reason for walking in the light as He is in the light. We get to where we think that we know it all or have heard it all. Oh, honey, I'm still hearing. And I'm still knowing. And when I first started out here just a while ago, all things in Christ is what we're involved in. The knowing of all things. The knowing of all things. My brother was a master mechanic in any sense of anybody's word, from diesels to whatever. And yet I've heard him say, I don't know how many times, but I've heard him say a bunch of times, well, and I didn't know that. Something else, you know, always finding something out concerning what he was doing, learning what he was doing. And it's so in everything that we do in the natural. It is certainly so in Christ. Certainly so there. The eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus. All right. The Father revealing His Son in me and in you is toward an end. It's toward a goal. There is a purpose. There's a purpose for God revealing His Son in you. Oh, I know there's an effect. We talk about the effect all the time. The effect of seeing Christ. I talked about it a while ago. In the middle of a circumstance that's just overwhelmed you, a real view of the Lord Jesus Christ as your life is the thing that answers that circumstance. I mean, it just takes you right out of it, though the circumstance may be all around you. You know that, and I know that. But everything of the working of the Spirit of God in our life. Everything. Now, I'm not talking about things that happened, you know, I had a flat tire yesterday or half the building fell down on me. I'm not talking about the workings of the Lord. Every working of the Lord by His Spirit in our life. And that may be involve other people. It may involve other things, whatever. But it's the working of the Lord. And you know that it is. Is directed toward the goal. The goal. G-O-A-L. The goal. Of this purpose. That we will be looking at. And it's going to take a while. I sat up here yesterday and determined and wrote myself a note right here. I'm not going to rush through this. I want us to just think about it. I'm not going to hold you any longer than I usually do, so. Because it gathers into itself. I started out saying all things. God has gathered together all things in Christ of spiritual life, of our salvation, And Christ is the substance of it. I said that it is not Christ plus all things. It is all things having their substance in Christ. Redemption, forgiveness, wisdom, knowledge, understanding, glory, all things gathered up in His Son. His Son, the definition of the all things of God. His Son, the substance of the all things of God. His Son, the Word, by whom and through whom God has done all that He has done and still does it. That one lives in you. The all things. All things. And the knowing of that Son, the revealing of that Son, is according to purpose. All things are in Him according to purpose. The revealing of that Son in our heart and soul by the Spirit of God is according to purpose. But what we will begin to look at is that very purpose. And it's not some little simplistic thing. But I'll tell you now, if we're going to say that everything of our salvation is the plurality of one, in other words, Christ is all of that, it's just a plurality of one, everything of our salvation is found in Him. Then we have to understand that the purpose which God hath purposed according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. If we're going to look at that, darling, surely we can look ahead and at least know in a fashion, at least know that purpose is complete in Him. So I'm not telling you that you're alienated from the purpose of God. I'm just saying that that purpose is the goal, is the end, the goal of everything that God brings us to in His Son. He does it with purpose. He does it with purpose. That goal is the awakening and transforming of our soul in direct accordance with His eternal purpose. It is the Father working in our soul, attaining in our soul His full pleasure concerning the Son. Therefore, I want us to focus our attention on the eternal purpose of God, and having that purpose of God as the motivating factor and the goal toward which we are always walking, or toward which we are always growing. Now that's something. That's something. For me, that's something. Because again, I've always been finding ultimately my purpose in Christ. You have to do that, or you just spin around like someone without one. And you're trying to find it in people, places, and things. And darling, the best people, the best places, the best things all fall apart. If in no other way, they die. So I must find that purpose in something greater than me. And I find it in Christ. But I'm telling you again, it's always been focused on my purpose. And that, again, that has to be. Please listen to me. That has to be. But what we're looking at here, and what I want us to see here, in certainly not this morning, but as we go through this, God's purpose. And I find my purpose in Christ. God finds His eternal purpose in Christ. He has a purpose, and that is in His Son. That is in His Son. And His Son is the absolute completeness and perfection of that purpose. So even the Father dealing with you and I and bringing us to find our purpose in Christ, we are on our way to realizing something beyond ourselves in this, and begin to understand, my Lord, this is God's purpose. God's working His purpose in my soul. What a wonderful fellowship that is speaking of. I mean, to know that in Christ I have found the very purpose of my soul even existing. And I have found that purpose in the One by whom it does exist and by whom my soul lives. I have found that. But now, to realize that the purpose of God reaches a realm beyond even that, and that He would make me to become in everything a partaker, an enjoyer of His purpose in His Son. Because it's all in the Son, hon. And if that Son's in you, then that's just something else that I need. Just something else. Yeah, that is a whole realm of Him I need to know. If I am to have fellowship with the Father. Now see, we started out months ago talking about a threefold union, or I called it a threefold union, but it was John 14:20. And I made a big deal out of it for weeks and for months for some. Jesus saying in that day, talking to His disciples about the day of Pentecost, the day of His coming by His Spirit to dwell His body, the church. And He said, you shall know in that day you shall know I am in my Father. I don't know, I'd read that hundreds of times, but that just blew me away several months ago, back in this year. I couldn't get over it. I looked at that and I thought, my God, have I never read verse 20? Well, yeah. But you just read over it until the Spirit of the Lord hammers you and says, look here. There's something of Christ you've missed. Christ is in you. But did you know this? I don't know. I'm just talking that way, but that's how it works in me. That I am in my Father. Because the next thing he says there, all one verse, you shall know that I'm in my Father, you in me, and I in you. Spent a lifetime talking about us in him and him in us. I mean, a lifetime. And now confronted by this, he makes this part of our union. He makes this part of the knowing of our salvation. You shall know that I am in my Father. Good Lord. What a significance. I mean, and you are in me. But look where he is. And we're talking about a union. It's a spiritual union. And that does not, you know, make us divinity even more than Christ in me makes me Christ. It makes me a man who has no life but Christ. And you too. But what a union. What a union. It goes beyond my needs. It goes beyond what sin did. It goes beyond getting out of all, you understand, it goes beyond all of that. And we see a fellowship that we have in Christ that is with the Father. And then you begin to realize that we've been brought into a relationship that was before the world was, and that Christ left that. He left it and came to earth and he died. And then he said, Father, receive me, glorify me with the glory that I had with you before the world was. And the Father received him. And that's what he's talking about. You'll know that I'm in my Father right where I started. But I've brought you there in me. It's no longer an earthly thing. It's a life we have on earth, but it's no longer an earthly thing. But do you know that what I'm telling you right now and what we've been talking about that union, is according to the eternal purpose? There's a purpose behind all of that. Behind it all, in it all, and out in front of it all. Now, where are we, guys, in our time? Anybody know? Aha. All right. About 10 or 15 minutes left, and that's about good because I'm about ready to stop here. But I want us to read in Romans 8. Again, what I'm talking about now, just kind of stir up our minds, our hearts, concerning the purpose of which Paul is speaking here in Ephesians and in Colossians and in the verses that I've read to you. God's purpose. Working that purpose in our soul. Bringing us into a fellowship with Him that is beyond the concerns of me. Because He meets that in Himself. But then, this fellowship. Good Lord of mercy. This fellowship. Well, Romans 8, just to get us started, and then we have a number of verses to bring into that. Yeah, well, not this morning. Romans 8:28, the verse that is probably misunderstood. More than any other verse in the Bible. It starts out, "And we know." And we know. Just let me say here that Paul is speaking of those who have an understanding. He's speaking to those who know. And the knowing of which Paul always speaks without exception is the knowing that comes through the revealing of Jesus Christ in my very heart and soul. Always does. That's the knowing. It is a knowing that could be translated as the most intimate relationship between the Spirit of God and my soul. It is an impregnation, not of information, but of substance. True knowing. True knowing. See, we still think in our minds, I know you do because I do from time to time, we still think the knowing of Christ is me knowing Him. Here He is and me knowing Him. Well, no, He is in me. And the knowing of Him is the knowing of Him as He is. It's knowing Him. It's Him. It's being known of Him. It is His Spirit awakening my soul to a measure of Him, to an understanding of Him that my brain couldn't get a hold of in the first place. It's in type and shadow between a real marriage, a real husband and a real wife, but even that kind of a knowing of one another that has a product to it falls short of this knowing that this word is translated as in the Hebrew and in the Greek. Knowing Him. So Paul says here, "And we know without exception, that is knowing that comes through the revealing of Christ." So, I'm not going to have to go back through all the scriptures with you guys and prove that statement, but when Paul is speaking of knowledge, he's speaking of a knowing that is impregnated into our soul, written in our hearts through the enlightening of the eyes of our understanding through the revealing of the indwelling Son of God. That needs to give us some hint then as to the meaning of this verse. And here it is. And we need to look at this. "And we know that all things work together for good." Yeah, see there? Sometimes I think there's not a half a dozen Christians on the face of the earth that understands that statement. Now, forget that I said that. But it's a very small percentage. "And we know that all things..." I spent far too long at the beginning of this with you guys on the term "all things." I had a reason for that. When we say "all things," we're not talking about the trees out here and the leaves on the trees, and we're not talking about, come on, all things. All things that are gathered up in Christ, the all things of our salvation, the workings of God in all things. All right, listen to it. "And we know that..." And we know that all things work together for good. There's no period there because it is not the end of the thought. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. A better translation is to them who are loving God, to them who are being called. So our calling, which began from before the foundation of the world. Yes, Ephesians 1, 3, and 4, our calling, which is in Christ, which was determined of God from before the foundation of the world, is an ever ongoing calling, and that means it never changes. It's always the same. It's ever ongoing, and is always going toward a goal which was determined of the Father from before the foundation of the world. We know that all things work together for good to them that are called according to His purpose. To them who are loving God, to them who are being called according to His purpose. Now, that has nothing to do with anything that happens to you in an outward realm. Man, my house just burned down yesterday. I don't know how God's going to work that out to be good. He's not going to work it out to be good because there's nothing good about it. Unless you set it on fire after you insured it. And then there's nothing good about it. You may go to jail over that deal. And that would be another one of the all things, wouldn't it? No, it wouldn't be. All of this is defined according to His purpose. To His purpose. We know that all things given of God, done of the Lord, work together. The word means as one. Now, what have I been talking about for months? Plurality of one. This is part of it. Hon, once you see this thing, once you see Christ as the center of it all, and that everything of our salvation is gathered into Him, then you look at verses like this that have the very same words, the very same definition, and you quit looking out here to try to find, well, I don't know how God meant that for good. Nothing out there is meant for good. Everything here in Christ, in Him, is the good. And that certainly does not mean that the Lord doesn't lead me every single day in doing this and doing that and going here and going there. But, hon, that leading is worked in my heart and soul. I just want you to quit looking at circumstances and trying to figure out how God made that for good. The good is found in Christ. The good is found in Christ. You understand that? But we've got people in the church world that has either got to attribute every flat tire they have either to the devil or to wondering what God was trying to show me by that flat tire. I would assume He was trying to show you that anything made out of rubber filled with air is going to go flat. You understand, hon? And we know. See? We know that all things work as one for good. To who? To those who are loving God, work together for them that are loving God, to them who are being called according to His purpose. But do you really believe, listen to me, friends out, listen to me. Do you really believe that God deals with us on that basis? You know? That He lets all these bad things happen to me, but over here He lets nothing but good things happen to these people? Certainly not. But what I'm telling you, darling, is that the things that we can see, the things out here, whatever it is that you will confront when you walk out these doors over here in this world, are neither good nor bad when related to this purpose of God. They don't count. That's not where you're going to find the goodness or the badness. It's not where God's going to punish you. That is in Christ. Everything in Christ. God has put everything in Christ, and He works it all together for the good. He works wisdom, knowledge, understanding as one. He works the glory of God, the light of God, the grace of God together as one. He gathers it up. And who's the one? It's Christ. It's Christ. It all works together in Christ for good. To who? To those that are there. To those that are there loving God. To those that are there walking in the light as He is in the light. To those that are there according to His eternal plan and purpose. To you. So let's just understand that much. And it doesn't mean, and this is something that no one should even have to explain, but it does not mean, because I can hear Christians right now, it doesn't mean that the Lord will not deliver me in this situation or that situation or some other situation, or that the Lord will not help me, or what, you know. That is true, hon. But it is also in a realm wherein I'm not finding my life. And yet the Lord knoweth that you have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. He'll add these things to you. See there? Because though we're in Christ, we live on earth. And I've seen His deliverance on earth time and time again. Israel did. But you see, with God, that wasn't the big thing. The big thing was He was able to say, I have done this for them time and time again. I brought them out of the iron furnace. I brought them across the sea. I did this. I did that. And their heart is still far away from me. So what I'm trying to tell you, honey, is the Lord's dealing with you and with me is in our heart. That doesn't mean He ignores us everywhere else. His dealing with us is in our heart. How's your heart? Anybody can see the circumstance. How's your heart? Because God has a purpose. You mean God has a purpose for all those things? No, I mean God has a purpose in Christ. That as we begin to comprehend it, will lead, guide, direct in all of those things out there. But you won't find it in any of them. So, how is it in our heart? That's enough. We'll come back. It's going to take a while for us to get very far. But I want us to have a clear understanding of just what purpose we're talking about. And where we will find it. In Him. Okay, guys, thank you very much. Good to see you this morning. And you who are with us this morning throughout the Lord's body and around the world, may the Lord richly bless you. Let us know how we can be a continual ministry to you. And any way we can, we will certainly do so. So may the Lord bless. Amen. Thank you.